Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do it. It's time for the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is Matt Shook, your host. We're going to try to get through the World Cup qualifying disappointment last night together. Team USA loses to Trinidad and Tobago, and is not going to be playing in Russia next summer in the World Cup. But this is the Wednesday, October 11th edition of Locked On Pistons. It's going to create a boring summer for some of those. That World Cup really filled the void these last couple times. But we're going to be talking Pistons today. Andre Drummond, what was he doing a couple years ago in that All-Star season, and what can he be doing to get back to that level? That's going to be our main topic later on. But first, we're going to cover Tuesday night's preseason loss at the Toronto Raptors, a 116-94 blowout loss to a man-sized Toronto Raptors team that played all their dudes. DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry played 28 points apiece, one of the best backcourts in the NBA. And then in the front court, they had Valasciunas and Serge Ibaka playing a lot of minutes. So the Raptors brought their A-team, and the Pistons lost bad. They fall to 2-2. And they'll finish the preseason on the road Friday night in Milwaukee. And then 1 week from when this podcast is going to drop, on Wednesday, October 18th, the Pistons will be at home at Little Caesars Arena for the season debut against the Charlotte Hornets. Last night on Tuesday, the Pistons did not have Avery Bradley for the second straight game. He's dealing with a sprained ankle, although word is he would be playing if this was a regular season. And coming off back-to-back nights, they didn't have Boban playing in the middle, nor Eric Moreland playing. So that meant that Andre Drummond had to answer the bell. And after sitting out a couple straight games this preseason, he went out and played 38 minutes, scored 14 points and had 11 rebounds, recovering from the pink eye. But the defense was lackluster throughout. Obviously, Avery Bradley being gone has something to do with that. But the good news for Drummond in the middle, 6-for-6 from the free throw line. Now he's now, in his two games he's played this preseason, he's now 12-of-14. Saw a video on Freep.com of Stan Van Gundy's post-game scrum with the local media, and Stan joked that he's going to be shooting technicals for this team by the time things get going. But obviously, we're just happy to see Drummond up over 50%. Well over 50% so far in the preseason. No way of knowing when the pressure kicks up, if that's going to be the case. Obviously, a more conservative estimate of under 50% would be history dictating that that's going to be the case for Drummond when things get going. Reggie Jackson did play on a back-to-back for the second straight night, played 20 minutes. I don't quite understand why Stan felt the need to go with Reggie twice on back-to-back nights, especially with a little bit of travel in there too. He's coming off the knee, and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to test it like that in the regular season. We'll see what the plan is for Reggie and his minutes and back-to-back nights and all that good stuff. But Rod Beard of the Detroit News pointed out in his five takeaways from the game, but that the pick and roll between Drummond and Jackson, which was the main offensive weapon for this team a couple years ago, this didn't look very comfortable, and the Jackson didn't really look good at all on Tuesday night. So something to maybe keep in the back of your mind. Maybe you'll see a lot more Ish Smith minutes on the back-to-back games, but we'll see. So something to keep in mind there. James Edwards III of The Athletic on Twitter also noted that when you had John Luehr playing backup center and either Ellenson or Anthony Tolliver at power forward, that rebounding certainly becomes an issue. Tolliver had the same kind of problems in Sacramento last year, and for a stretch did buckle down on the rebounding and did contribute some more down there. So, you know, maybe if you're going to have John Lohr playing instead of Boban as the backup center on some nights, which you're probably going to have to do against certain teams that don't have that, traditional post-up option, that possibly, you know, maybe asking Anthony Tolliver to get down low and rebound a little bit more, or maybe Tobias Harris fills that mix at some points. So if Henry Ellenson's hoping to get it back on the court in a reserve role alongside John Lohr, is probably not going to be the ideal scenario for that. Maybe Ellenson is tied in with Drummond on minutes that Drummond's on the court, or maybe those games that Boban can get 15 or 20 minutes of court time, maybe those are the games that Henry Ellenson can watch out for. So we'll obviously keep an eye on the rotation and how those kind of things evolve. Another note from James Edwards III, he and Vince Ellis, apparently, of the Free Press, apparently drove up together. And as you should do if you're driving up from the Detroit area to Canada, you go up to Port Huron and visit my old stomping grounds. They tweeted a picture of being at Chicken in the Rough in Port Huron. And I could pretty much picture exactly what they were going through. They were getting close to the Blue Water Bridge in Port Huron, said, hey, we better eat in the United States here in Port Huron before we cross the bridge. Who knows what those Canucks have to eat, maybe just poutine or moose burgers or something like that. But they stopped at Chicken in the Rough and had a good meal in Port Huron. So it's my recommendation to everyone listening is that if you're looking for a summer town, try to get up to Port Huron next year and check out the Thumb and Lake Huron. It's a good spot. That's kind of forgotten sometimes in Michigan overall. 22-8 assists for Ish Smith last night off the bench. Two straight games that he's looked pretty good. Possibly more of the same from Ish from last year to this preseason. So he's ready. Based on his performances in the preseason, Vince Ellis's article tonight on Freep.com floated the idea of possibly going with Ish more in the early part of the regular season than Reggie. As Reggie kind of gets into game shape, gets that knee going. So, you know, it's a lot of the same arguments that we had last year as Reggie struggled, but Vince is suggesting that maybe Stan Van Gundy think about that in a major way so the season doesn't get off to a bad start. Another highlight from last night, Tuesday, is that Langston Galloway scored 16 points, his best offensive output of the preseason, so an encouraging sign there. But defensively, it just sounds like the team was a complete mess, which is concerning because you had Drummond in there, and he's going to be your center, getting a lot of your minutes there. But like I said, hopefully Avery Bradley helps that. Got to believe that Luke Kennard and Henry Ellenson's minutes, especially early in the season, are going to be down so that their defensive deficiencies won't become a problem as much, and hopefully they can kind of work into the rotation as the season goes on. But we're going to be talking about Andre Drummond a little bit more today. I'm going to talk about a clip that's going around the internet about Andre Drummond and what the UConn big man needs to do to return to the form that he had a couple years ago here on Locked On Pistons.
I had a chance to watch this kid since Connecticut, and I thought he'd be much better right now. I thought he'd probably be an all-star by now.
He has been an all-star by now.
Well, he
was in the league.
He should be a perennial all-star. I mean, a guy that we should be talking about in the MVP race. Wow. I mean, this is a man challenge.
You thought that? The MVP race?
I really did. When him and Anthony Davis came in, I thought, you know, it's 50-50. Either one of these guys can be the great player. I thought he was better than Anthony Davis coming in. I would have chose Andre Drummond. You know, I haven't seen the consistency over the years.
We're going to talk about that one later.
I just wanted him. I had high expectations for him. There's nothing wrong with that. I had higher expectations for this kid.
So you watched Andre Drummond at UConn.
Who went ninth.
And Anthony Davis at Kentucky.
Who went first and won the championship.
And you would have took Andre Drummond over Anthony Davis.
Yes, I would have. Yes,
we're gonna have a good year, boy.
Forget, Anthony Davis was only a 12-10 player at Kentucky.
Hold on. You know what? He's been hanging out with that coach with the Miami Dolphins. Like, seriously, far from hanging out with that.
Detroit basketball.
So that clip is from ESPN's studio show tonight. Paul Pierce and Chauncey Billups, Michelle Beadle, and Jalen Rose hacking it up about the Detroit Pistons. Paul Pierce does a great job of disparaging Andre Drummond's career, but also giving props to the player that he could be, all in the same breath. I've seen on Twitter that Paul Pierce has taken some grief from that one, as Chauncey Billups, obviously, in the clip was talking down to him, too. Paul trying to say that going into the 2012 draft, he thought that Andre Drummond was the better prospect than Anthony Davis, and he's getting killed on the internet for it because we know the player that Anthony Davis has turned into. But I got to say, I mean, I don't agree with what Pierce is saying, but I respect the fact that he's going up there and being an analyst and admitting to, you know, bad opinions that he's had in the past. And really, as far as bad opinions that he's had in the past, this one isn't really the worst one I've heard. I mean, Anthony Davis, I remember watching him in that NCAA tournament run and a little bit during the season with that great Kentucky team in 2012 that knocked off Kansas in the NCAA tournament final. Paul Pierce said he was a 12-10 player. I actually looked it up. He was in a 14-10 player for John Calipari's team. But I don't remember Anthony Davis being as evolved, nearly as evolved offensively as he has proven to be in the NBA. I thought he was actually kind of awkward offensively. The points that he scored was just basically off of his length and inside. I didn't see much of an outside game at all. I know that the stories were that he had the huge growth spurt in high school and played point guard up until that point, so it was only a matter of time until, you know, the offensive game caught up to the size, and obviously it has in the NBA. I'm not sitting here, you know, defending any idea that Drummond's near the player than Anthony Davis is right now, but it's just to see the way that Drummond played defensively and still plays defensively in a highlight reel type of way, and then the way he rebounds, he might be the best rebounder in the NBA. And just to say that you saw two prospects when they were both there 1 year in college, and again, I didn't see a lot of Andre Drummond at UConn, so I can't really talk about the prospect that he was. As a Pistons follower, you know, when he got drafted, I looked back a little bit. Obviously, the free throws stood out even back then. But I don't know. I just, instead of ripping on people when they admit mistakes on TV or on Twitter or something like that, you know, and of course we're going to gang up on Paul Pierce and talk about how he's doesn't know anything or something like that. But, you know, I think I was one of those people that thought Ryan Leaf was going to be better than Peyton Manning in the NFL. Of course, I was in junior high at the time, and that was coming off of the Peyton Manning versus Charles Woodson Heisman debate. So I probably had a preconceived bias in there, but and I didn't know much about Peyton Manning. I didn't watch a lot of his games in college or anything like that, but saw Ryan Leaf had the physical tools, and yeah, you can rip on me for that now, and obviously it's a punchline. We know that Peyton Manning turned into one of the top five quarterbacks of all time, and Ryan Leaf was barely to be heard of again, and other than some blooper reels and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's just, it seems like it's kind of the Twitter culture we have, is everyone wants to sound like they're the smartest person out there, and ridiculing some people when they're admitting some things that they got wrong in the past.
Yes, sir.
See, even Rip agrees with me. So moving on with more about Andre Drummond. He had the big season 2 years ago. He averaged 16.2 points per game, 14.8 rebounds, leading the league in rebounds, made the All-Star team, made the All-NBA team, picked up the $130 million five-year contract that he's in year two of right now, and then really took a downturn last season. Struggled, averaged only 13.6 points per game and 13.8 rebounds. His offensive rebounding went down to the lowest levels that he had since his rookie season. He's 24 years old now. He had an encouraging development in the offseason as he had surgery to repair a deviated septum in his nose. He apparently had, in his face actually, he had apparently had not been able to use most of his right nostril to breathe since his UConn days, and then kind of injured it again in his second NBA season, and didn't really have any off-season time off to get off the court, to get out of the training. He was in the Olympics 1 year, Olympic training 1 year. He had the surgery and was able to relax after that and recover with his mom by his side. So, you know, it's a storyline that if you're an optimistic Pistons fan, you could say, well, this is going to be the reason that he's been lackluster at times in the past. He's going to be better conditioned, going to be breathing better on the court, and he's going to have all the energy he needs. And obviously, things aren't that simple in the NBA and in life. We haven't seen Andre put together a stretch of that good of basketball since that season 2 years ago. So it's up in the air to see whether Drummond bounces back to that all-star level ever again, or especially anytime soon. I think a lot of it has to do with Reggie Jackson's health. If they can get that pick and roll going and he can turn the corner as well as he did 2 years ago, I think that immediately helps Drummond, you know, get into the basket, roll into the basket for alley-oops and other plays as well. And I think the three-point shooting improved around him should be able to help out as well, open up things somewhat for him to get around the basket and get the easy baskets that he needs to maintain his level of production. So there are some good signs for Andre Drummond to return to that all-star level. You know, as fewer and fewer big men are around, I mean, he's just a huge guy, and his size is going to be an asset as those guys kind of disappear from the game more and more. The Pistons are a team that needs to zag. They're not going to match the Golden State Warriors. They're not going to have the skilled length that some of the other teams around the NBA have. They're not going to pick up any big free agents or go out and go get multiple all-stars to come join them or anything like that. So Stan Van Gundy's got to find a way to do things in a unique way, you know, kind of like the Bad Boys did, kind of like Chauncey Billups and those teams did. They need to pattern themselves in a way that other teams aren't doing, and Andre Drummond could be one of those ways. He's been a little bit maddening for Pistons fans during his career, but again, he's 24 years old. He's the most accomplished player on this team. Avery Bradley's won a lot of games, but he's not been the individual player that Drummond was a couple years ago. So he's our guy for right now. We got him for three more years after this season. So if you're a Pistons fan, you got to be rooting for Drummond to put it together. If you think that they need to blow it up and kind of hit rock bottom with him this year, then obviously he's not going to be as great of an asset with that kind of contract and the kind of production that he had last year. It'd be more of a salary dump kind of way than a guy that would acquire multiple draft picks and young players or expiring contracts or something like that. So those are the reasons to be optimistic. The surgery, the return of Reggie to health, the refocusing of the whole team in general after missing the playoffs in a season that everyone kind of figured they'd take the next step and be a solid playoff team or maybe get a more winnable first-round matchup out of the season. So, again, those are some things to keep an eye on with Reggie, with Andre, sorry, as Drummond approaches his sixth season in the NBA as a 24-year-old. So that'll do it for us today on Locked On Pistons. Again, 1 week away from the regular season. We're getting excited here, and we'll finally have some regular season basketball to talk about. Reach out to me on Twitter at @Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. I appreciate everyone listening, and we'll talk to you soon, everyone.